Well, we have a guest this afternoon on the Friday afternoon show.
We do.
With Chip and Spud, and we'd like to welcome Lucy Morgan, who is actually a reporter with the Isle of Wight County Press. Hi, Lucy, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing fine, thank you, and it's really good of you to talk to us this afternoon. And we're going to have a little chat about the future of the High Street. And I know recently, on the 21st of August, the County Press ran an article about the High Street, and you had various people talking about it. Really, what we're concerned about, obviously, and you pointed it out in the County Press, are what the key issues for businesses are, and you know what the article actually uncovered, you know, in terms of the effect on the High Street from the pandemic and online shopping as well.
Yes, I think different businesses are finding different problems depending on how they operate. And you only have to look at the front of the shops to know how many have been hit. And there's a list as long as your arm with some really big brands that are closing. They have that problem of Amazon. That was already ticking along in the background with people choosing to order online. But then along came COVID-19 and brought with it lockdown and issues with getting stock in and issues with the fact that they had to close altogether, and it was really a bit of a perfect storm for problems. The Chamber of Commerce chief executive Stephen Holbrook said to us that it had accelerated problems for businesses.
Yes.
They're already struggling in certain areas, and this has just sort of heightened that issue. I think it depends on your business as to where you sit on the scale of problems.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, you mentioned there about Isle of Wight business closures, and just looking at the article, you mentioned quite a few, and there's Pizza Express, Beardsall's are closing shops, Pound Stretchers, Phones for You, Bright House, etc. And they're either going or they're gone. So it's really sad, actually.
The list can go on, yeah.
Yeah, and you also, there are other issues around this about businesses on the High Street, such as their rental and their business rates. And you mentioned Stephen Holbrook there. He's calling for a really strategic review about the whole thing.
Yes, it's an interesting one, really. I should say, just so we've said it, really, Beardsall's is retaining aspects of its business. It's losing its a couple of its High Street branches.
Yes.
But it's retaining other aspects of the business. And actually, this week, we've heard that New Look are restructuring, Cotton Traders up by Sainsbury's on the industrial estate there.
Yes.
Have gone. So new names being added all the time. In terms of that issue, interestingly, we did a bit of a poll on the same day that we ran the article. And
yes.
We asked our readers and our Facebook users and our Twitter users what they thought the problems were and whether it was too late to save the High Street. And we had about the same percentage on Facebook and on Twitter, about 60 people saying they thought it was too late to save the High Street, and around 30% of the respondents saying it was still savable. But one of the things they were talking about was parking costs and business rates, and the issue appears to be that the shops are owned by big business. Big business needs the rental income in order to keep its own accounts ticking along, and the businesses are the ones that are sort of falling by the wayside with it.
Well, you're right there, and I mean, you're touching on a much wider problem, really, on the High Street, and as your readers have highlighted there, things like traffic congestion and access into the High Street, parking facilities and charges. I mean, the list goes on. Some town centres are pedestrianised, and that's relatively successful in some areas. But that is the whole infrastructure and the support mechanisms for businesses, like, you know, the rates, the rentals, but also potentially opportunities as well. And, you know, even though people have changed their behaviour, there are opportunities still within town centres, don't you think?
Well, one of the interesting things we saw during lockdown was the way that some businesses were responding to it. And I think the ones that rode the storm the best were the ones that kept up their presence online, kept their name in the public eye, and sort of thought about how they could do things differently. And I remember there was an Isle of Wight bookshop that was off, you know, it started selling itself as something to do to cure the boredom of lockdown, and we'll bring the stuff to you. Don't you worry about coming to us. We've got everything you need. Just let us know. We'll bring it to you. Obviously, the shops that were doing special hours for older shoppers who couldn't get out and were worried about coming out during lockdown. The food suppliers, there was a huge change in the way people were providing food services on the island, because they started delivering to places that they weren't before, to pick up that slack from lost farmers markets and so on. So I think some businesses have really sort of embraced the change and thought, how can we do things differently to try and keep things ticking along?
You're right, and it's all about being adaptable and being flexible. And wherever there are difficulties, it's a strange thing, really. There's always opportunities for others. I mean, particularly delivery firms, you know, they're increasing their business. But I think, you know, from your point of view, from the article and the survey, the big question is, will people return to the high street, and what will attract them, do you think?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, for me, certainly, personally, I started thinking about things that I was probably buying that I probably didn't need. It was a chance to sort of take stock and think, actually, do I need to be going to get stuff all the time?
Yes.
I think people still will. I think people will still buy. I think people still need stuff. It's been interesting, actually. I was reading just this week that the footfall has dropped off, because suddenly there was the rush to get the kids back to school.
Yes.
And maybe to get back to the office. Not everyone has yet. But that was a bit of a surge that then died off the other side. So maybe people have sort of reassessed whether they need to go to the shops as much, and whether people are a bit more content with what they have.
Yeah, and do you want to mention something, Chip, about your experience on the high street?
I think another one to get across is like when they introduced the mask rule, like you have to wear a mask in a shop. I kind of didn't go into the shops when they were umming and ahhing about the mask rule.
I think you were a bit concerned about wearing a mask, and with somebody with particular needs, that was a bit of an issue for you. And I guess people have a certain fear now, don't they, which they didn't have before, Lucy?
Yes, I think it was a really scary thing when they said you've got to start wearing a mask, and if you don't do this, this will be the consequence. That is a really scary thing to take on board.
It was.
And I know we've mentioned in the paper previously a lip reader who also is finding it extremely difficult because she can't communicate with people, and people are struggling to communicate with her, and she's finding that really tough. So there's obviously, you know, a lot of people who are struggling with the current situation.
That's right. I mean, we've touched previously in interviews about mental health and the effect of all of this, the pandemic, the lockdown, and not being able to have the freedom just to go and browse around the shops in the same way as before. But I think, like you say, Lucy, people will always want to go to the shop and touch and feel things. And I suppose the other issue is actually trying things on. You know, it's a bit difficult if you're buying new clothes and you can't try them on until you get home. So,
yeah, it's funny. I mean, you can't do that at the moment, can you? But
no.
I do tend to do that. But I think a lot of people will go and see something and then go home and try and order it for cheaper online. And I think that probably is the inherent issue. So maybe it's about house shops, you know, and independent retailers on the island, I think, pride themselves in their customer service, which I think is probably quite key. So if you can offer a little extra, maybe that's the key to keeping the customers, rather than have that situation where people go in and use it as a bit of an opportunity to check it out and then go and see if they can get a bit of money off.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned about shopping online, and there has been a shift in behaviour, and I think the increase in online shopping over the past few months has certainly shifted the emphasis on actually going into shopping centres. But I think perhaps there should be a review, as Stephen Holbrook said, about the fairness of shopping. You know, shopping online, big retail outlets, they have overheads, and maybe the business rates system, it's time for a review on that, do you think?
I think that's what business owners are saying, and we're seeing an awful lot of that whenever you talk to anybody in the retail sector. And let's not forget, retail jobs are being cut faster than most other industries at the moment. That's where the hits are off the back of COVID-19.
Yes.
And the other things that people were saying to us, again, coming back to parking, just to try and increase the footfall.
Yeah, we like football, Lucy, as well.
Yeah.
I can't pretend to be an expert on that either. The parking costs of just being able to nip into town, and in terms of there being a bit more support for new startups. But people were also telling us when we did our Facebook and Twitter poll that maybe there was a bit more of a mix needed of residential and leisure. So you almost feed the shops around you by having the other alternatives there as well.
Yeah, I think I mentioned about what we call a paradigm shift in shopping behaviour and also the use of the high street. And if you diversify and include use of buildings that are not being used for housing, social housing, above flats, above shops rather, that there's got to be sort of a new approach maybe for the future that will regenerate and revitalise the high street. But there is some positive news. I mean, in your article, you mentioned about the Heritage Action Zone £1 million fund, and that's being targeted at the key sites in Newport and other town centres probably. So, but as well as spending that money on getting the shops open again, do you think there's a bigger issue, a much broader issue about the infrastructure that supports businesses in town centres?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? It feels like, and probably if you're in retail at the moment, you've probably got a lot of other things to worry about. But as an outside observer, it feels like maybe this is the chance to reassess what is there, what is on offer, how it's on offer, and those issues about pedestrianisation and making it easier for shoppers to go in and maybe more of a coffee shop culture. I mean, all of these things, they're very idealistic. It's very easy to say this.
Yeah.
If you're not involved in retail on the day-to-day front and you're scrabbling around trying to keep the business going. But yes, obviously there's that Heritage Action Zone money which will be split between Ryde and Newport, and that's about sort of bringing the buildings back up to scratch and just sorting out some of the problems that are around the town centre outside of the day-to-day business. It will be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, and that is a positive step in the right direction in revitalising things. And you're quite right, if people find it attractive and they want to go to the town centres, whether it's for the nightlife, if there is improved nightlife, or even just for browsing, it needs to be easy access and not expensive to do so. So really that is the big question, isn't it? Will people return to the high street in large numbers? And we can only hope that, with the actions that the government and the council are taking, that they'll look at this seriously.
There's obviously a big discussion taking place about whether people work from home at the moment, and that real shift in office culture. A lot of Islanders will commute up to London. London apparently is deserted at the moment, and
yeah,
there's a knock-on effect on the retailers that would feed the areas where those offices are. We are seeing a massive shift. I don't know where it'll end. It's interesting to see it.
Yeah, well, all we can do really is just hope for the best, and that the people that make the decisions and have the money will really look at the whole picture, and we wish them luck with that. All we want to do is just make sure that businesses survive and new opportunities come along. So, thanks very much, Lucy. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to that? It's been really interesting talking to you.
Thank you, Lucy.
No, not at all. Good to talk to you both. As long as I can get my cake and my cappuccino, I'm a happy woman. So.
Yeah, and the sandwich from the sandwich bars. Yeah, I know. Well, it's been brilliant talking to you, Lucy, and thanks very much again. And as I say, we'll be perhaps coming back on a future date to see how things are going on the high street with you.
Yes, no worries at all.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Lucy. You take care.
And you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.